evening, everyone. Hello. And you're so welcome. I can't believe I'm standing here in front of you all. But anyway, on behalf of myself and Antoinette, I'm sure we've been talking to you, emailing you at some point, all of you. You're very welcome to Westport. And we are delighted to have Jack back in the country. I think it's been, long, long overdue. But it's fantastic, and it's fantastic to see you all. Just a quick overview of the weekend. So tonight will run from 7:30 to 9. We don't know what's going to happen, because that's the nature of the work. Tomorrow morning we start at 10, okay? There'll be a short break in between that. Lunch will be at 1 o'clock, and we should wind up proceedings around 5 o'clock. And that'll be the same schedule for Sunday. So you'll have about an hour and a half for lunch, that you can either have lunch downstairs, or there's a cafe just up the road, whatever suits you. You can see me using the mic. So if you're using the mic, you need to keep it quite close, like this. Don't be down here, because you can't hear a thing. Okay. All right, Jack?
Yes.
Are we good to go?
We're good to go.
Hello, everybody.
Hello.
Right, without moving your body. You see what happened? Wow. All right, so really don't move your body, but be aware of your body. Now, if it needs to be more comfortable, make it more comfortable now. And if it's all right the way it is, it's all right the way it is. Take a few deep breaths with the intention of slowing everything down. Just slowing everything down, that's all. Whatever is willing to slow down inside you, then let it slow down. And if there's a whizzing going on that doesn't want to slow down, that's all right, just see it. That's fine. Imagine there's a feather, one of those little small white feathers that used to be in those down pillows long ago. Imagine there's a feather in the inside of the top of your head, going really, really slowly, falling through a space that's inside your body. Now, a feather, when it falls, it goes from side to side, and it's doing it at its own pace. I want you to picture a feather falling inside your body, slowly working down its way through the inside of your head. Maybe it's down towards the top of your neck now. As it finds its way through your neck space, falling at a feather's pace, swinging from side to side, down into your chest. More space in your chest as it goes from side to side to side. See if it can go the whole way down to rest just inside your pelvis, so that you're kind of sitting on it as though it's actually on the chair. That you're sitting. Bring it the whole way down. And let it settle. If you need to yawn, just yawn. So just check inside and see if there's more calmness within your body than there was 3 minutes ago. It's a good thing to have some techniques like this until it becomes the new normal. That there's awareness kind of inside, a felt sense of some gentler, calmer, natural rhythm that is from your own being, that's inside you, that wasn't created by the pressures, life, story, who you are, what you do. I'm inviting you to find your own rhythm, the pace that honors you when you drop your energy from your head down into your pelvis. You go from your head down into your body. Get familiar with what that feels like. It's not about talking about it, it's about doing it. This needs to become the new norm for you. That there's some part of you inside. That all of you isn't compromised by negotiating your life. But that your center, I want you to be 90% there actually, but if it's just to dip in and out as often as you can for the rest of your life, that might be as much as you can do. It's all right. This sense of something deep inside you, of being kind of present to what's deep inside you, to have an awareness or to have a little bit of your attention on the inside. This has to become the new normal for an awakened state to be solid. Now maybe you can touch this place in meditation, or you have whatever it is that does it for you to bring you into that place. So what happens then when you engage in life? Do you leave it completely? I just want you to find out for yourself. The only answer is the honest one. That's the only answer, the honest one. We can't work with anything else except about you recognizing what happens inside you. It's the only thing that has any value. What's really happening inside you? You to be honest with yourself. When you meet other people, do you completely leave that center? Do you completely leave it? And if you completely leave it, then your mind is in charge. You're trading. You're trading your divine capacity for a conglomerate of concepts and thought and conditions and ideas. And that's the piece of software that's running there. What we're going to do this weekend is find how it works for you so that you can be inside, and we can go pretty deep inside. Let's see how we get on. For you to be inside, and when life happens, that you have new tools so that you can stay inside and use your mind, use your body, use your skills as you need to, but you don't ever completely leave the inside. Ever again is my prayer for you guys. Ever again, that you never completely leave that felt sense of what is deeper, deeper. Can you stay in that inner felt sense? Are you ready to stay in that felt sense? Fear can play a little trick here, you know, and say, oh my God, if I stayed in there, it's like a big dark abyss. I get swallowed up. It's like, yeah, that's what the mind will say. I'm going to be destroyed. I'm going to be under so much threat if I'm not 100% with all of the attention available to me, then I'm screwed. And that's what the mind would say, of course. That's what it's going to say. Because it's all about survival, you know, and it's got the nervous system and it's got your body and it's got your story and everything to support the fact that we need to be in the doing what's right, or doing what I should do, or doing what's expected of me, or doing what I need to do to survive, or avoiding overwhelm, avoiding guilt, avoiding shame. You know, we all have our own little script of what's familiar to us. So it means removing your attention and your trust that that old script is what keeps you alive and happy. It doesn't. It keeps you making drama. That's all it does. It keeps giving you experiences and stories. But if you're here, then there's something deeper that you know about. That you know about. And the simple direction, of course, is, well, stay inside and let the outside kind of be addressed in whatever way you can. Do whatever you need to do on the outside, but stay on the inside. That's damn hard to do when you have to focus on your job, when you are under pressure to deliver certain things. It's darn hard to do. So here's the key. Where your mind stops and starts, and where your that felt sense that you might have tasted when your attention goes deep inside into your pelvis, down that far. That felt sense of something that was there always, that you've always known. That place of no story. Whatever that is for you, it might be calm or peace, or it might be full of fear. But the deepest place you can go to, I want you to know, is that created by your mind? Yes or no? Or possibly my mind is in there, but maybe there's something deeper than my mind too. Or is there absolute clarity of like, no, that's not created by my mind. That other space is independent to my mind. That's what I need you to go to, is knowing my mind goes this far, and then that felt sense, I know my mind doesn't create it. In order to wake up, you've got to know the difference. You've got to. Every individual has to be able to sense that. Of like, yeah, that's my mind. And then if I step deeper than that, or if I draw more within or pull back, it's either dropping down or pulling back. It's one or the other for people. If I pull deeper than that, is your mind might come along. But is there something there that's independent to your mind? And you'll know, because it's like, when it feels kind of like this, it feels kind of like that. You'll find that kind of language is more appropriate rather than, oh, it's all white and the angels are there. It's like, that is so your mind. You know, it's much, much more subtle. And if you can't really find a word for it, but you know the felt sense of it, all right, that is pure consciousness. That's what that is. That's pure consciousness. Now, non-dual teachings will tell you that's your true identity. That's your true nature. That's what you really are. That's the divine. Some people experience it as oneness. It's where you kind of get a sense that, well, actually, the boundary of me and everything else is pretty seamless. I can stretch out to everything, absolutely everything. Like, it's all interconnected somehow in this zone, because there's no separation there. For some people, it shows up like that. Know how it shows up for you. Get to recognize that zone of pure consciousness. Some people are looking at me like they absolutely know what I'm talking about, and some people are looking at me frowning as if to say, what are you talking about? Stay with it. Stay with it, though. Wherever you are, it's fine. Stay with it. It's more than the words, too, you know? So I'm going to take you in again, doing another way. And this time we're going to try and find the difference between mind and pure consciousness. Now if your mind says, oh God, I want to get it, I want to get it, you won't get it. You won't get it. You won't. But if you can be super soft and gentle, like melted ice cream on the inside, really formless inside, if you have that sense inside your body, already the mind has weakened. Already. You can use your body to pull the blood away from your brain and to pull your attention away from your thoughts and go into a piece of mush. A piece of mush. And when we go into that soft, maybe warm, some people say it's kind of pink, nebulous, nothing going on. I'm just trying to give you different words so that you can find what makes sense for you. Going into that place, that zone inside your body, it's not challenging. That place is not challenging. So I want you to be aware of your body. Just be aware of it. Your hands, your feet. If I hadn't done the earlier exercise, I'd be starting at your eyebrows or your forehead or something and working you down, but there's a sense of something has already dropped a little bit. So be aware of the play of air around your hands. And just the sensation of socks, shoes, the floor, air, whatever's going on around your feet. This pulls attention away from the story-making mechanism in your mind. It's a good tool. It's very simple, but it's very useful. See if you feel soft inside your body. Now, you have a body. And let's go deeper than the body. And the mind will say how, but don't mind that. So see the body from an observing position. It might be that you're just over your body or beside your body or from inside your body, but you're just observing the body. So there's a bit of distance between you and the body. Now the thing that's observing the body, that observing capacity, the thing that's aware, let's pull a bit deeper than that. And one word that tends to work for people here is a sense of being. Just a sense of being. Now with the sense of being, existence is a given. It's like something exists for it to be. Drop deeper or let go of that platform, that sense of being, as though it is a ledge. Go deeper to where there is an awareness that things neither exist nor don't exist. So that the question of being is way too much in story. It can neither be nor not be. The idea that something can exist, it too actually is created by thought. Go deeper to where you can see that it's a little bit too dense to be imagining that you exist or you don't exist, that anything can exist or not exist. Go deeper. This is a felt sense you're after now. Your mind doesn't have a free inclusion talking about it. It can't. Our minds don't. If there is a sense of spaciousness, let that open up and go deeper even than the sense of spaciousness. There's a capacity to be aware of what that zone is like, then go deeper than your capacity to be aware of it. Where it feels like it's too much to be aware of what's going on. It's a step too deep into story. The thing, it's not a thing, but that zone itself does not have the capacity to be aware of itself. That's pure consciousness. Now, if this is not new to you, this question is for you. That pure consciousness, did you touch into that when you were dropping the feather and going deep within your being? How different were they? The invitation is when you drop into stillness, you think of calming down your body, you're driving the car and it's your time to just, I don't know, something else happens. Or you're in meditation, whatever your practice to go into that non-story mode is. We need you to go to pure consciousness there. So when you drop in, you go to that layer that isn't even aware of itself. It hasn't even moved that much. It's not even aware of itself. Don't worry if you're completely lost. Don't worry at all. Just stay open and empty inside and let it do its own thing. And if your mind is running amok with this material, then it's like, it's okay, mind. It's okay. You're just trying to stay alive. You're just trying to get it right. Bless you. But we don't need to do that now. It's actually safe. It's safe. It's safe to drop the mind totally. Now the thing is, you have to arrive at that knowing yourself. Because if you take my word for it, then you've given away your power phenomenally, and that's a trick of your mind, and it will not work. You can't give me or any teacher your own power. You can't. You have to know that it's safe within yourself. You have to know that. It is safe. I can tell you it is safe. But you've got to figure that one out yourself. If it's true, is what I'm saying true? Your own authority has to go with you. It has to. So sometimes if the mind is very busy, I just go, shh. I just, shh. Use whatever technique works for you. You have a mind, you're not your mind. You have emotions, you're not your emotions. Your own being has access to pure consciousness, but your mind doesn't know shit about it. It doesn't. I want you to find the line of where you start creating concepts and the felt sense of pure consciousness, the felt sense of what was there before your mind. Maybe you remember it from being a baby. Maybe there's a sense of like, yeah, if my body died, this would certainly still be here. A lot of us get that sense. It's like, yeah, if my body died, yeah, sure. That thing has nothing at all to do with my body. That zone has nothing at all to do with my body. You need to have that clarity of what's the zone that's deeper than your mind. Now, a mature, awakened state is when there is access to that place 24/7. That you never are 100% contracted into the movie of your mind. It becomes kind of impossible that you could completely abandon that zone, that abyss, that nothingness that's inside you. That you never completely leave it. You never completely forget it. So the work of every person on the spiritual path is, well, what is it that takes you away? What is it? What's so darn important that I want to give 100% of my attention back into movie material and I switch off my capacity as pure consciousness? I just switch it off. Switch off your awareness of your capacity as pure consciousness. Now, what's fantastic is we have the ability for the mind, and for me, it's like the mind is in front, and pure consciousness is kind of behind, you know? It's like there's more of me behind than there is in front, you know? And for some, it's below. It's pure consciousness feels directional for all of us. And you've got to find, where is it for you? Is it behind or is it below? I think I've only met two people ever where it shifted at one point. It's like it used to be behind and now it's below. No, it was the other way around. It used to be below and now it's behind. You got to find, but it's usually just one direction. Makes sense. Find that direction so that you know where that which is deeper than all of it is for you. You know? OK. Okay, assuming that everybody has access to something, something inside right now. In about 30 seconds, I'm going to ask you to do something which will involve you engaging your brain. I would like you to do the activity without leaving the deepest place that you have accessed. Soft on the inside. Still on the inside. Don't activate your nervous system, because you know something's coming and the nervous system will want to crank up. Be calm. Be calm. Let your priority be on that depth of your being. The depth, the deepest place you can go. Deeper than being, if you can access that. Deeper than the sense of existence, where that concept is just not valid either. Let breathing happen from the deepest part, the deepest place. Keep your attention inside. Keep your attention inside, and I want you to sit someplace different. You can just get up and sit someplace else. Doesn't matter where, doesn't matter. You don't have to question, you just need to sit on a different chair. Do you have the same amount of access to the whatever depth you've touched into? Do you have the same amount of access as you did 5 minutes ago? Did you leave it completely in order to function, to get up and move seats? You need to know how your brain works. If it takes all of your attention to do simple tasks, did your emotions get involved? What happened inside your body-mind mechanism? Where is your attention? What's going on? There's no right or wrong, there's only the honest answer. You've got to know these things about how you function inside. Did you get nervous? Did it activate your nervous system? Did your fight or flight get activated? Did it feel like a threat to have to do that? If it felt threatening, then there's trauma in your body that you need to heal. Trauma will do that. It will tell you that everything that's asked of you is a threat. That's trauma from something, from anything. Or do you have, that's my spiritual time, sitting down, but we turn it off now and we do something and now we go back to the spiritual stuff. Is that what you do? Do you have an on-off switch? How does it work for you inside? Or did you absolutely maintain the very same depth, access, deep in your being, and you functioned and it did not alter at all? It's kind of a high jump, but that's where we're going. So I need you to be aware of how your body works, what it takes for your body to do a function, and do you ascribe way too much attention to it? If there's been a lot of trauma in your life, yeah, you'll ascribe a way too much attention to every task and you'll keep leaving the stillness. So you'll have these awakening experiences, but you won't be able to hold it. You'll be waiting for something else to kind of blast it all out of the water, when all that's happening actually is your attention. You've traded it because you somewhere unconsciously believe that you need to put your attention on functioning. So how much attention do you think it really needed to change chairs? Really? And did you give it more attention than what it needed? These are the things you need to know about how your own mind works. There's no getting it right. It's just, what's the honest answer? That seems to be my opening intro. I have nothing else to say right now. Okay, I gave you an awful lot of tools there. You'll keep what you'll keep, it doesn't matter. I'm not really interested in that. I'm interested in, like, you've got to know the difference between your mind and pure consciousness. Your consciousness is the non-dual, that which doesn't do separation. And yet there's deeper than the non-dual. There's deeper. Some teachers will tell you they won't, but there is. There is. The bottom falls out of that too. And it goes into just nothing. I mean, nothing. Like, really nothing. And the steps between pure consciousness and that wide open, no ledge, no nothing at all to hang on to. The concept of space is seen as a concept and it falls away. So the sense of spaciousness that you get, you know, when you're on the meditation cushion or when you're outside of story. There's a sense of spaciousness. That's just the concept of space. That's the first concept hanging out there. And that can stay there for the non-dual. For an awakening, spaciousness can absolutely stay there. And awareness of awareness, being aware of awareness, that can stay there. That's kind of the thing that's aware of itself. You know, it's kind of looking at itself. Consciousness is kind of, if something is being aware that there's consciousness, that's the non-dual as well. But deeper than that, I kind of introduced it a little bit, because where consciousness being aware of itself, or the same, okay, these are the same words, awareness, consciousness, same words here, right? So consciousness being conscious of itself, or awareness being aware of itself, right? And my hand is kind of going forward, because it's as though it's turning around of itself, turning around and recognizing itself. It's the same thing, you know, awareness being aware of itself, but it's got a bit of activity going on. You're aware of something. Awareness is aware of itself. Do you see? And that's fine. That will bring you to the non-dual. But it's too much. It's too much. That activity is too much. I'd like to open a trapdoor to where awareness of itself, where you can feel that it's already in the movie. It is already in the movie. At that point, you can only roll towards the movie because you've already turned down the first switch. Pure consciousness is doing it. Your mind isn't there yet. But pure consciousness cranks up the first couple of concepts. And then it's the story-making mechanism that is our mind. Now, that's what's not spoken about often. And these are the things I've learned since I left Ireland. 5 years ago, since I was working here last. So the consciousness being consciousness being conscious of itself, or awareness being aware of itself. If you can get there easily, and if you've done a fair bit of spiritual practice, then you know that. You know, that you can be aware of awareness. It's too much. Recede the activity so that it's pure consciousness. And it doesn't know shit about itself. It has no capacity to be aware of itself, to be conscious of itself. Find that zone. Now you're moving a little bit deeper than the non-dual. Now you're not tapping out in that zone. Because the non-dual, of course, is the mirror image of the dual. They say it isn't, but it is. Because there's deeper. But the non-dual teachings just go that far. Now maybe you've come from the Buddhist path. And if the Buddhist path, you know, has been your way, then you probably won't get caught in the non-dual. You probably won't. Because it doesn't advocate that level as being the awakened state so much. You know? That awakened state is very useful because it It allows you to embody. It allows you to figure out, yeah, that's where the mind stops and starts. Okay, what's, okay, I got caught there and did some patterning and it felt a bit off. I did something there and it's not sitting right. What was I, where was I coming from? You'll be able to feel the lack of flow between pure consciousness and how the mind hijacked it a little bit because it just had a pattern of how we approach this. You know that one? Where there's a, and I'm not talking about intuition, I'm talking about something much deeper. Where there's a movement towards something that's like, that's off. What happened there? You've lost the flow from the depth of your being right through to manifestation into thoughts, actions, words, whatever you were doing. So the non-dual state is really good. If you've come across those, if that's been your path, it's really good for getting that solid, so that you're solidly looking from the place of being, the place of oneness, the place of your true nature, of the capital S self. These are all different names for that same platform. And that's the awakened state. That works. That's the awakened state. And it's really useful to get solid there so that you can learn how to function in the world and yet have a good bit of your attention at home. That inner sense of like it's kind of home. Right? So there's a lot to be said for that enlightenment state. But it's a step. It's a step, a stepping stone to something much deeper, much deeper. Much freer, much looser. It's more than okay to have no reference point at all. You don't need the capital S self. Really, really, it's just another identity, you know? It's just another identity, actually. We trade out having the personal, me, myself, I, for the divine, the absolute, the true nature, the truth. We just trade it out, actually. But there's identity still. The thread of identity is still at that level, too. So what I'm encouraging you to do is like open the trapdoor deeper than that. No reference point. No reference point. So wherever you get to in your comfortable zone, let it open up like a the floor has gone. Wide open. Wide open. So what I often call the outside of all of it, like totally outside of all of it, and then there's pure consciousness that doesn't know anything about itself. Lo and behold, the first movement. Okay, movie begins. Pure consciousness is making the movie itself. It becomes aware of itself. All right, you can probably get to that place in meditation. Now, we've already left outside of all of it. We've gone to pure consciousness and then where consciousness is aware of itself. So we've... I want you to go deeper than all of it. Live from the place that's outside of all of it. But if your mind is hanging on to ideas and goals and shoulds and should nots and meaning and purpose, that's fine. Just don't invest in it. Don't give it all of your attention. It's just the movie-making mechanism. That's what your mind's job is, to create story. Put kind of a parameter around it, you know? Don't shrink and compromise yourself so that you're only getting off on what your mind is offering. My goodness, that is such a constriction. But only you can find out what have you got access to. How deep is your access? How deep is it? Like, what are you accessing right now? Are you in your head saying, oh, this is bloody boring, I don't know what she's talking about. Yeah, you've just traded all the doors I'm inviting you to open. You've just traded all of it and you're in your mind. Just be aware of it. If that's what you're doing, be aware of it. This is a load of crap. You know, it shouldn't have come. Oh God, I forgot to bring in the washing. I mean, this is what the mind does, no? So that can be there, but it's kind of on the side. Don't ever give it your full attention. It doesn't need it. It's just the interface between you and the world, you know? It's just a toolkit for functioning. How do you know what you were thinking at 4 o'clock this afternoon or at, you know, 1 o'clock this morning? Like, but at the time, it's really darn important, of course, because it takes all of our attention. It's like, doesn't need to. Just like moving chairs didn't need to take all of your attention. And if it is that you forget, the depth that you can access at other times when you're still, if you forget that, find out what's so darn commanding that you are willing to contract yourself into body identification and story identification, and you're closing off the depth of all of it to pure consciousness and deeper outside of all of it. You trade all of that for a story? Really? For a story that you won't remember 10 minutes later? Really? So a story with an emotion is going to be really juicy. I mean, that's the classic. If there's a story with an emotion, it's like a turbo magnet for your attention. So you've got to figure out, how does it work for you? What is it that makes you trade your awareness? Nobody can do that work for you. Nobody can do that for you. People can point you to it and give you a blast of light, and you can go and have an experience, and you know. But the experiences are only interesting. Every spiritual experience is only interesting as a story. It's actually no good at all. It's just more story. That's all it is. That's all it is. So the spiritual experiences will have to stop. They'll have to stop. Because ultimately they're just food for the mind, you know? So just check out to see if you've an attachment or an expectation for more spiritual experiences. Are you doing okay? Okay, let's see if there's questions. We have a roving mic. It's over here. Thanks, Anne. Anybody got something they'd like to talk about? Great.
I'd just like to ask a question about... when I'm trying to hold on to that inner awareness or whatever I would call it, it seems easier when I'm sitting in meditation. So, and I also know, I mean, I know that it's really difficult when I'm around people. So the question is, I suppose, it seems more important to me than to practice it around people, and not because that's where all the difficulty are.
Good for you. I'm thrilled that you've found this is where it's important, this is what I need to practice. Fantastic. All right. So traditionally, okay, off you go into a monastery, off you go into an ashram, because you've attained a place, you know? So let's just disconnect from life, and we don't live like this anymore. But it's better. It's better this way because it's more authentic. Do you need, you know, it's not going to be protected by the cloisters. So, the highest jump is speaking to other people. Mostly because we use labeling, and labeling is, you know, for communication. And labeling is right in there with duality, because you have a name and I have a name, and I refer to myself as I and you, and it's all in there, deep in the storyland of separation.
But just as you were talking now, I realized that I had really difficulty holding on, and I was aware that that's kind of I suppose my dilemma at times, like I kind of, I think I, it feels selfish. I feel like I'm pushing people away or something if I'm trying to stay connected and at the same time talk to people.
There's a couple of things you can do. The highest jump is talking to people. We've got to train your brain how to do everything else that we can, and then you'll be ready for that highest jump. This is a brain rewiring. It's neural pathway stuff. Because the thing is, when that part of your brain that does me, you, and conversation, and this and that, and story, there's just a habit of all of your attention going to that part of your brain. This is your brain. Okay, that's what's going on here. Now, if your emotions come in, there's a piece of work to do. But at the moment, let's leave it at that it's your brain, because that's the foundational thing that has to be changed. Right, so if you can do it when you're alone, let's see if you can do it with an animal. Can you hang with a dog and stay in that zone? Yeah. Right, okay, can you drive the car and stay in that zone? Cycle a bicycle?
I can certainly walk, you know, when I walk in a street and there's lots of people around, I'm okay.
Yeah.
I don't get distracted as much as, but when I say hello to somebody, it's gone.
It's gone. It's gone. All right.
It comes back, though, but it just,
sure,
it just seems to...
It's gone. It's gone, yeah. All right. So what I found really useful was going step by step. I knew it was my brain. I just knew this is my brain. My brain does not know. I don't know how to use my brain and keep some of my attention inside. And, of course, if you have the thinking system, if you have the belief system that, well, if I'm not giving them all my attention, they deserve all the attention, and I'm not being a nice person, you're going to have to get over that stuff. You know, it's like, what's more important here? Because the mind will invariably give you reasons. If it can bring in the emotion, it's got you stuck. That's what it's going to try and do, bring in emotion. So if it kind of wants you to kind of feel bad, feel selfish for not giving all of your attention to somebody else. Now, the thing is, you will be giving all your attention to somebody else because you will actually end up being much more present, like much more present, but it'll be from a still place inside. It's like you'll be allowing the dialogue from somebody else to come to you. It happens in a different way. You'll be very present, very still, because there's nothing else going on. Now, the old pattern will have been that you kind of go out to meet people, kind of something energetically comes up to your head. Do you know? Or for somebody else, it depends if you're a down person or a back person, all right? So it either feels like you go out to meet somebody or that you come up to your head in order to give them all your attention. So I need you to play with your energy so that you stay back a bit. If you can trust it, you will actually recognize that you're more present. You're letting life come to you. You won't have to work so hard. But you'll actually hear every single word and the nuances of what's really going on in the conversation because you're available. It's actually much more natural. Is this making a bit of sense?
Yeah, as you're talking, I'm just realizing that at times I catch myself actually being there and talking and I haven't thought about it or something sort of...
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, so I want you to recognize the characteristics of that. Like the kind of, maybe your body's relaxed. Maybe you're speaking in a slower tone.
Well, there's no decision. I find myself there rather than sort of saying, oh, how do I stay connected and talk to somebody?
Yeah, because if you think about it that way, you see, your mind, you're gone. You'll have left it. Because your mind will be wanting to get something out of it. It's kind of more clinical because you're training your system. How does it feel? How does this body-mind mechanism work when there's absolute stillness inside and communication happens? So it's more that, not that you're trying to fix something, but that you're observing how it works. You see? I want you to see how it works. What are you doing? It's more self-awareness, no? You see? How can you let things come to you? And of course you do it sometimes. Of course you do. Yeah, I'm glad that you could see that you do. But it's like, what does that feel like? You're not trying to recreate it, you're just trying to recognize it so that so that your brain can do it that way all the time.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, sure. If you can pass the mic to the corner just behind you. Yeah, right. Wasn't it yourself?
Yeah. Hi, Zach.
Hi.
Somewhat related to the last question with regard to attention and how we manage it, or how, yeah. Well, if it's 12 years since you've worked here, there's been a huge increase in the interest in what's known as mindfulness. And I was wondering, in the context of the exercise that you gave us, a question about how much attention did it really take to change seats? My understanding of the world of mindfulness, one would be encouraged to have all of our attention fully present to the task.
Hmm.
How does that sit with what you're suggesting?
Yeah, mindfulness is kind of a beginner's tool. And I don't mean that in a judgmental way. It's just kind of placing where it's useful and where it's not. And if your mind is dead busy, you know, and you're fully stressed, mindfulness is fabulous. That's why it's really good for stress. You know, when we're so caught in story that we need some kind of tool to pull back. Now, so with mindfulness, it's like your attention is available to be on the task. Because if we can say your mindfulness is that your attention is fully on the task. Now, if it's intently on the task, with that contracted focus, that's not mindfulness. Mindfulness is more open, that you're present to the task. It's kind of softer. You're looking from a softer place. So you're approaching everything from a soft place. There's a softness in mindfulness. Do you see? And because of the softness, there's more of you available for it. Because you're not watching, am I all right here? Am I surviving? Is this the right thing? None of that jargon is going on. There's no attention for that because the attention is on what the task is. But you have to be kind of soft inside in order to be available for the task. So mindfulness is about looking from a specific place. You're looking from a different place. So then, of course, what's happening in front of you is all that's going on. Because you're not looking from within the story. You see, you're a step back and you're approaching something because you're available to it. So then, yeah, that's being completely present. Completely present. Now, you never wake up just from mindfulness. But it's a beautiful thing to master. It's that soft capacity to be fully present. There's no intensity about mindfulness. Hence, it's a great de-stressor.
So, just to clarify for me, is your sense that being fully present is not the same as having all of your attention on something?
Being fully present.
Maybe it's the language that's catching
us. Maybe it's the language that's catching us is right.
If I'm fully present, where's my attention?
Yeah, if you're fully present, your attention is not, I can put it in the negative and maybe I'll find language that resonates for both of us. Your attention is not in storyland. It's in the here and now and what's happening here and now. So for attention to leave storyland and not be in any thought at all and just be on what's happening now, there is a capacity to be present. There's something kind of more in your body. Is there attention there? Maybe there is. The way we use the attention is softer. It's more available. Your attention is available. Does it have to be on all of the tasks? You see, it's the... I have it. So I think attention, as I understand you're saying it, it's like, well, if my attention is fully there on a task, as with mindfulness, how can my attention be inside too? I'm trying to activate this sense of pure consciousness. Now, it's not that your attention is on pure consciousness. Your attention is the part of you that's externally focused. I'm trying to activate an awareness of pure consciousness at the same time. Now, to put your attention on pure consciousness, it's like attention is kind of the outward focused, the mind capacity to function and be present. Something deeper with a wider bandwidth than just that which is activated with mindfulness. There's a wider capacity within us because we're not just machines that have this ability to put attention on something. So step one is getting attention away from your thoughts and putting your attention in the present moment. All right, now activate that sense of something deeper inside you, of beingness, or that which is not in your body at all and was there before your body incarnated. Whatever pointer works for you, hang on to the one that makes sense to you. Now, that's not the same kind of attention that it takes to be present. You see? So there's the mind and there's pure consciousness. And I want to open up the part of you that isn't created by your brain. And for you to have a felt sense of what's not created by your brain. But attention is where we put our attention. Where we put our focus from our brain, you see? And that can do present moment. Pure consciousness, outside of time. Outside of time. Outside of time. So I'm just trying to make different, point out some differences so that we can really recognize where the mind stops and starts and what's deeper. What's deeper, you know? That kind of answer it?
Yeah, thank you. Yeah. It might be some of the language, but for myself, I seem to. Maybe I'm currently in some one on one stage where I'm really thankful for becoming aware that I'm lost in my story. I come back from that.
Yeah.
I've never graduated beyond that level, but that in itself has kept me some way sane.
For sure! It's essential. We all have to do that part. And even if you're fully awake, that can still happen, you know, for a very short period of time. But
I guess I'm lucky that I can become aware of or mindful of it.
Yes.
To play with the words again, that my attention has been completely collapsed into something and lost in the story.
Yeah.
But something allows me to become conscious of that.
That's
I don't know what that something is.
Super.
I don't know.
Super. Yes. Find out what that something is. Yes. So there's two things that you know, it's like you're walking with two sticks. There's two things you gotta do on a spiritual path. And I always encourage people, do both. Because most spiritual paths advocate one or the other. But at this stage of the game, we have to do both. One is find out what's catching you in story. Because like, okay, oh, I'm caught in story and I'm pulling back and I'm just so grateful to get out of that loop of story. What? Now you're back in the mindfulness place. What is it that you're going to trade? What is it that pulls you away from that? So there's two things, no? It's like expanding the capacity to pull back and finding out what it is that makes you leave it. So you have to do both. You see? So go deeper. So when you go back into mindfulness and you're in the place of gratitude that you're out of story and it's a bit still and it's a bit calm and you can see it was only story in your head. When you're in that place, go deeper. And all you have to do is like, deeper than this. What's deeper than this? Open up deeper than this. Just deeper than this. See what happens. Just open a trap door there. And it's about willingness. And it's about surrender. See what happens there. So one of the stakes to help you is going deeper than wherever you've gotten. And the other one is like, well, what makes me go out into story? Why can't I hold it anyway? Why can't I hold it? What is it that I'm investing in that's so darn interesting? So there's two parts. You know, how deep can you go in and can you unravel the hooks that make you want to go into story continually? We've got two things to do. The whole way, we've got two things to do. You know? Anyone need a microphone? Have you access to some stillness right now? Yeah, like across the way. Thanks, Anne.
Hi, Jack.
Hi.
I think the explaining you did was really good. When we were sitting, and then we were in our zone, and then we said to move seat, my mind was just going to past experiences of, like, probably teachers and workplaces where, you know, it was like, you know, they ask you to do something and there's a reward at the end of it, or you go to a place that you maybe go and sit somewhere and you're sort of being impressive to the teacher, or
yeah.
And it was really strange because, like, when that was going on, I just, like, went and came back into my space and just moved quietly. It's really good.
Well done.
It's great.
Well done. So you can see that's where your mind goes.
Yeah.
Rather than just being present to the task,
mm-hmm.
letting it just happen. It's like, whoops, I know this, I know this. It's about being at school. It's about...
I know, it was. It was weird.
Amazing, isn't it? We just pick up an old story. Yeah. And the fact that you saw it, but you left it, and you completed the task without it, what you're doing there is creating new neural pathways. Because you're doing the same task, but not from the old template.
I know, that's what it was like. It was putting me into situations where, you know, somebody's been in a position like you and the groups, and it's almost like, right, how am I going to impress the teacher?
Yes.
You know, should I sit there, should I sit here?
Yes.
What's going to make you feel that I'm doing the right thing?
I'm doing the right thing.
And I thought, no.
Well done. Well done, you didn't buy it. No. You saw it. Well done.
That's right.
No, always keep all your power. Always keep your power. Always keep your power. And even that is a fantastic thing to notice. It's like, okay, somebody that intimidates me or that I have on a pedestal, all right, let's either imagine it or physically go to them and just, I'm going to hold my power and be with this person.
Yes, it's so really
create new patterns to be present without picking up. Because it is about being present.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if that which moves all is moving through your form and not being hijacked by the old patterns in our conditioning, life is easy. Do you know, there's just what's happening next. So it's not going to run the old pattern, the old learned pattern. We have to retrain our brains. We literally do. How do we function without picking up something that's from 40 years ago?
And, like, when you were saying the experiments getting in deep, I was thinking, I've got blockages happening, I can't get there. But see, when I learned that, I thought, I did get there.
Yes.
I did go down deep.
Yes. 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 Yes.
Anyway, thanks.
No, you're very welcome. You're very welcome. Yeah.
Hi, Jack.
Hi.
Recognising your true nature.
Mm.
Same as being in touch with that being, that sense of consciousness, that pure consciousness.
That's right.
And the other part of that would be realizing your true potential. I'd always wondered what that was.
Huh. What your true potential now? What part of the you are we talking about there?
Well, your true potential for me was something mysterious. It was like, well, that's acting from the unknown. So there's no way that I would know what that was.
Yes.
I had some ideas. My relative self would have ideas about what that would be. And I've been operating out of that for years. And I tell you, it's hard work trying to find that potential there. Although I had used it on and off, unexpectedly at times, things would just come to me. When I was in that quiet space, when... I was touching that space, and I wasn't even conscious of it happening at times. But I do remember it happening at various times. And And listening to you talk about it, I think it's probably more important when you have life is throwing you curveballs and things are just happening out of your control that you... it's often that's the point when you lose touch with that, that composure, that you get caught up in that, I've got to fix this, I've got to find a solution to this, I've got to sort this out. And that's when you draw on what you think is your abilities, your gifts, your capacities. And it's not really, that's your ego's attributes, you know. Because the answers and the solutions are always the same. You know, they're always second-hand or coming from the wrong space. That feel that they're not coming from there. So this idea of recognizing your true potential is just being able to let go for me and allow whatever's going to surface. And it's such an exquisite feeling, actually.
Aha.
I've felt it a wee bit recently when being challenged by life as you are, you know, especially when you're operating from that, your true nature in that space, you know, it's always saying, oh, you think you're there then? Well, I'll try this one.
Yes.
I better delay this or put that off or I make this more difficult for you.
Yes.
And it's at those points, actually, that's when it's really tested. And I've just recognised that it's... There's a lot of fear around it because you don't know. There's a tendency to want to do something about whatever's happening. But another part of you kind of senses that if you just let it go and stop worrying about it and stop trying to fix it, then something always arises. Something comes at some point, you know. And it's that interests me. I find it really fascinating that what comes out of that space.
Yeah.
And I think that is what I'm beginning to realize is your true potential. And it's kind of weird in a way.
Yeah.
And quite wonderful in another way.
I'm suspicious of something.
Yeah.
You know the phenomenal story of like recognizing our true potential and all this motivation of speakers and all that. You know the Tony Robbinses and all that stuff. All right. If your mind has bought on to a little bit of that, then we might have to honor it. We might have to honor it. You see, sometimes you can see through things, and you're talking as if you see through it, but this is why I'm suspicious. I'm like, hold on, I think there's a little bit of grit in this. So beautiful. You're talking about seeing through that, gosh, actually the potential is just getting out of the way and letting something else inform me. Now, your mind is interpreting that as potential. Your mind is labeling that as, oh my God, look at the potential that came forward. So your mind is making a nice story out of it. If your mind is going there to interpret it and wanting to interpret it as something beautiful in life and how it shows up, then you're still attached to potential being a good thing. I want you to be where you've seen through that the idea of potential is just another phenomenal thing, like being drunk is nice, or going on vacation is nice, or do you know, it's like, yeah, these are just things in life, but if they have this extra value, this extra quality attached to them, it's a trap.
Yeah, I'm listening to what you're saying. I hear what you're saying.
Okay.
But the other side of it would be, it's painful.
What's painful?
Sitting with doing nothing about something.
Yes.
And being okay with feeling uncomfortable about it.
Yes.
Now, and then smiling about feeling uncomfortable because
okay.
I'm embracing that
yes.
experience.
Okay.
Whereas before, I did everything to resist and avoid that.
Yeah.
I mean, part of the motivation to find a solution was to avoid the feeling that I had of not knowing.
Yes. Yes.
You know.
And now you're able to sit in the not knowing and sit and wait.
Sometimes.
Now, can we take away the sense of reward that your mind is enjoying because something does come forward? Can we just take away the fact that that's really nice?
And you're hinting at about an expectation of sorts.
Yeah, yeah. It's a reward system.
Sure. Thinking, you know.
Your mind is in there thinking, oh yeah, you're like, my true nature can come up with the goods.
I mean, the mind, like, I do like the idea of it being causeless and effortless.
Sure.
I think the mind quite likes that. Mm-hmm. I mean, I quite like it.
Of course.
And if I was to kind of fall across something that was effortless, then I'd be like, well, that's like the pill for all ill, isn't it, really, isn't it? So, but I'm not that naive to think that that's the case.
Yeah.
And I do think that that's the trap, again, you
know.
Yes. But,
yeah, like everything is valid some of the time. You know, it is effortless within a particular zone. It is effortless. Within another zone, heck, there's a lot of friggin' effort. You know?
Do you know, and this is just slightly beyond what we were talking about, and I just wanted to point to that, if I could mention that.
Of course.
This idea that, you know, the absolute self is everything and nothing, including the relative self.
Yes.
And all of its drama and all of the stuff that's going on,
that's
the imaginings
right.
and the
that's
tricks
right.
and...
That's right.
It's all okay then, isn't it? And I'm not looking for some kind of get-out clause here.
Okay.
But it's kind of strange if it's embracing all of that as well, because at some point we're there's self-inquiry and there's self-observation and there's all this other stuff going on. And it's all a bit like navel-gazing, really, isn't it?
You see, yeah, you can say that. there it is again, that your mind has come up with a perspective that has a feel-good factor on it, that makes you feel a relief. It's there in the, oh, that's where my potential comes from, and it makes it kind of all right. And, oh, sure, me, the person and the mind and the story-making and all of that is part of my true nature anyway. And then you feel a relief from it. That's a trap. Do you see what I'm talking about? You're getting a feel-good factor from some concepts. I want that feel-good factor to show you that it is... I want you to recognize that feel-good factor, the phenomenal one, isn't good enough. But that resting, abiding in the deepest place you have, that you can, is kind of outside of that. It's outside of where that feel-good factor is attractive to you. Do you see where I'm pointing you?
Well, yeah, I haven't lived as long as I've lived and experienced a bit like most older people here. You realise that the way that I've been trying to do things just doesn't work.
Yes.
You know, the returns aren't deep enough. Well, it's not like they're not deep enough. It's not enough. It's almost like, I know that's part of the way the mind operates.
Yeah.
It wants more or less of something.
Yes.
It wants a richer, deeper experience of something.
Sure.
Because it thinks that's where it's at, you know. I'm not pointing to that. I'm just pointing to the fact that when you... So it was, isn't it?
It is. I'm sticking to my point, though. Some part here of the mind is wanting life to be the monitor, or to benefit in some way by your awakening process. Do you know, it's like your mind is in there giving a little bit too much help. Little bit too much help. Do you know? How it pans out in life, just do your best. But that's not really the gig that's going on. Not really. It's not really about sorting out your life. It's not really. Sure, let that happen, but there's something more important going on. It is more important. So as long as the mind wants your spiritual progress to make your life a little bit better.
And you've talked in your book about divine order and urge to do something, or an inclination that comes from that space do something.
That's right.
And, I mean, my mind, we're all aware of the fact that the mind is extremely tricky.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. And it always wants to take control of that process or take credit for it.
Yeah.
And I have to say, I'm just curious to know.
Yeah. I'm trying to push you deeper.
Do you know? But,
just trying to push you deeper.
You know, because we've all had inclinations and urges. And it's what you're pointing to is like, is it coming from that space or the other space? And one's more genuine, authentic than the other.
That's right.
And I know what you're talking about in body and having a felt sense and a deeper experience. Be careful with that.
No, we're fine, I hear you. The outcome, how it shows up in life.
Well, not caring about the outcome.
Yeah.
But not... You know, but the mind can say, I can't let go of that. I can let go of that, but I can't really let go of that, can I?
Yeah, you know, that's the problem.
Yeah. I mean, the mind can't really let go of it. The true self, perhaps.
The mind wants...
It's just going to happen.
Some part of you still believes that it's going to make your life better. Some part of you is looking for a phenomenal... feel-good factor, just a sense of relief or calm or understanding or it's all right. You're looking for some kind of,
Isn't that the nature of the mind? Isn't that what the...
I want you to see through that. To see through that and go like, I know you, mind, you're looking for a bit of relief now. That's why you've understood that spiritual, whatever it is, experience or seeing or... You know, my true nature is experiencing this, for example. Yeah, you're after that feel-good factor now. Bugger off. Not interested, not following it. Not following it. It can be as uncomfortable for my mind as it wants to be. I am so not buying into it. Back in. Deeper, deeper, deeper. It's like you're translating it for your mind in order to ease the suffering. But that's not... The suffering is because you pay attention to your mind. That's what the suffering is. That's what the suffering is. It's not about making your mind better. It's about leaving it and seeing through it and knowing that actually can never give me anything. But it's giving me an understanding of what my potential is. It's giving me an understanding of, it's all okay. It's all my mind, of course. There's kind of like a debt forgiveness there, you know? Do you know? So it's like, see through it. It's like, no, I'm not going to translate it in order to give myself an understanding so that I can exhale. See through that. That kind of ease of suffering is temporary. It'll constantly keep you in storyland, trying to make your spirituality make your life better. That's a freezing point. Do you see? It's like, a consequence of the divine order, it just happens. I'm not concerned about it, because that's just the natural flow of it, but I'm not interested. That's where I'd like you to be. It's like, I can see that the divine order is actually beautiful and much better than I can come up with. So what? So what? Authentically, so what?
So this line that runs along down your body,
the lateral line,
all the back thing.
Yeah.
I mean, I've got a lot of tension back there.
Okay, great.
I mean, it's just like, it feels like... Great. I mean, it's nice to put my attention there. And then just breathe. And it does, I do feel more relaxed.
Yeah.
You know, but it's a strange feeling. But I hadn't. It's almost like everything's up front. You're absolutely right about that. And I don't, I'm one of these guys that's not doing the deep down, more of the back thing.
You're more back, yeah.
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 I wondered when you first experienced that, was it tight? Was it, constricted? Or did it loosen up and open up? After a while,
going back.
Yeah, because you keep saying like it's just wide open. It's just wide open. You know,
yeah.
Like, well, what's that?
Yeah.
What is that? I mean, it's just I don't really. I mean, what? Yeah. I just think
it's nothing.
Yeah.
It's genuinely nothing.
Yeah.
It's nothing. Nothing to empty. Maybe we could say. Totally empty. totally empty. So when you go to like, yeah, my true nature, and you can have that felt sense of your true nature, start going deeper than this, deeper than this.
I've just been talking on your work recently, and it's just like blowing my mind, really. When you say things like you're not your body,
yeah.
You're not your mind,
yeah, yeah.
You're not even conscious, you're not consciousness, you're not awareness.
Yeah. Yeah.
And some of that deep sleep, I could do with some of that, really.
Yeah.
And
can you tune into the zone of deep sleep right now? Give me a hand up if you've some felt sense of what I'm talking about. All right. Oh, super. Whoa. Great. It's almost half. Okay, if you can tune into that zone that you know is the thing that's going on with deep sleep. If you can tune into that, that's the wide open. I'm just stuck for language all the time. But the deep sleep is that zone. It's like nothing. I mean nothing. But the mind can't handle there, so all I do is make it wide open, because then fear will come up. Because we always need fear to be like seen through, you know.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. We've a lot of ground to cover, but we've another 2 days. We're at the time. It was a bit intense. Are you all right? It's going to be an intense weekend. It's going to be an intense weekend. So I hope you're up for it. It would be a disservice if there's anything else, really. So watch what you do tonight. Just watch what you do tonight. If you feel like crap, don't get caught in it. It's like, okay, I can see it. I feel absolutely awful. Because sometimes this work will just like, up comes something. You know, a whole emotional stuff. And say, okay, it's there, it's fine. Don't judge anything that happens tonight. Don't judge anything. Don't criticize yourself. Don't go near judgment at all. At all. That's the most important thing. Do not go near judgment tonight. Do not go near it. Because right now, that is the most potent tool to rewire what we might have opened up. That's the thing that like, whoops, let's just go back into making it safe, and judgment will do it. Judgment will do it for you. Okay? No judgment tonight. None. And I'll see you at 10 in the morning, hopefully. Much love.
Thank you, guys.